Yeah, I just see this. I see this little short dude, Martin Scorsese. Where is Martin? He's this tall. I see him. I see him come on set. The whole set is quiet. I see him come on set. It was cold when we was filming. This guy just drops his coat right off of him, and then somebody behind him picks his coat up.
Wow.
And I'm like, he must be special, bro.
He's somebody. he's somebody.
I'm back on the road. I'm back on the road. I'm back in that mode. In the trap with them bows, yeah. Can't sell a hold and I'm breaking it down long as packages get sold, yeah. Even with Chev on the phone cause they put a 10 pack on the hold, yeah. But I just took a 8 out of Wells. Heard it blocks and it played through the mail. Quarterback making plays in the field. Got my weight up on niggas, I'm breaking the scale. Hop with that pen in for real. Came from the mud and they hand me still.
Check out so the Wrong Agenda Podcast.
This is the Wrong Agenda Podcast.
Yo, what's going on everybody and welcome back. Or welcome for the first time to the Wrong Agenda Podcast. I'm your host, Jess Dale. I got my co-host with me, OG Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
And today, we got a special guest out of the acting world, Darryl Jermaine. What's going on, brother?
Salute. What's up? Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate you. Timely, man. Like, real quick. No problems. I appreciate
no
that.
No problems
for real.
At all.
Word. No problem.
So I just want to get into it. So where are you from?
I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Canarsie, stand up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Matter of fact, I give a shout out to the 92, the 90s, man. You know what I mean? Like, I used to live around there and all that. So I used to stay around there when the Bobby and Rowdy era was. So it was lit. We was turned up over there. So shout out to the 9. And
okay.
You know, but I moved to South Carolina when I was young. You know what I mean? My grandmother moved us to South Carolina when we were young. And I came back up when I got older.
Okay.
So basically, yeah, we're gonna dig in real quick. What got you into acting? How did you break into that? What got you started there? Was it from young, later on, or how did that work?
Shit, acting kind of running my family. My third cousin is a legendary actor, Ozzie Davis.
Okay.
God bless his soul. Mm-hmm. You know, Ozzie. I started acting when I was in elementary. Probably was like 11 years old. I went to school and I dressed up like Steve Urkel for field day. And the kids, man, I had the whole school like rolling and shit. So I just kept up. I just kept on with it.
Wait, you dressed up at was this like a play or something going on? Or you just did it just for fun? You just that guy?
So hold up. There was no nervousness or nothing. You was just like, yo, I'm gonna just do this and we gonna go out and.
Bro,
that's dope. That's dope.
This was the early 90s. So you know, my grandmother, she used to wear glasses. She used to wear the big bifocus. I took my grandmother's glasses. I found some suspenders. Like, it was crazy how the whole costume just came together. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, I'm meant for this shit. You know what I mean? Like, so I went to school, man, and people, you know, they got a kick out of it. And I just kept on. I did that shit for like a weekend in elementary school, man. And then I just started doing other stuff, you know.
Your first actor role is Steve Urkel.
Steve Urkel, yeah.
All right.
That's dope, though.
Next level courage, man. I don't think at that age I wouldn't even be brave enough to dress up as a superhero and go like that's crazy.
Nah, cause you know back then people. With the jokes, they going crazy, especially in New York. In New York, it's on. You walk in with the wrong sneakers or whatever, on.
Yeah.
Field day. So, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
But what are some of the things, like some of the movies and stuff that you have out already?
All right, so I've been on a host of like TV shows like Diabolical, Investigation ID shows. Okay.
Those shows must get That's a lot of women watch a lot of those shows.
Hey, yo, what's going on? Like, sometimes I be in the subway and, like, I be getting some stares sometimes and shit, but I know where it comes from. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've been on some crazy shows. But, but I did The Wolf of Wall Street in 2013. You know, I got casted. I kind of found out I was the only black guy at that time in the office scenes. That was casted.
How did you get into that? Through an audition or someone recommended
not
you?
Not an audition. Yes, basically somebody recommended me to, you know what I mean, to casting, and casting called me. I didn't know how big Wolf of Wall Street was when I got casted. Mind you, I only had been in the game for like since 2012, so this 2013, really. So things was like happening like really, really quick. So I was just happy that I even got noticed to be in I knew it was a major movie when I got on set. That's what they were saying. Oh, this movie is up for the Oscars, and there's Leonardo DiCaprio in it, and Jonah Hill, and Martin Scorsese directing it.
Mm-hmm.
I know how big Leo was and Jonah, but I ain't really know who the hell Martin Scorsese was.
Oh, yeah. He's a big name.
I see this little short dude, Martin Scorsese, he's this tall. I see him come on set, the whole set is quiet. I see him come on set. It was cold when we was filming. This guy just drops his coat right off of him. And then somebody behind him picks his coat up.
Wow.
And I'm like, he must be special, bro.
He's somebody.
Special, you know what I mean? Like, he's somebody. You feel what I'm saying? Like, so I was like, so I said to myself, okay, that's the man right there. That's the man right there. I need to impress him. So I stayed on Wolf of Wall Street for like 30 days.
Oh, wow.
That's where I got my... that's where I got my vouchers from. They wavered me four times.
Okay, we're gonna talk more about the SAG after thing. We got to cover it up.
All right, cool.
I mean to cut you off, but I'm like, we're gonna go.
I'm getting all into it. That's good.
I'm gonna get a little deeper though. So you, I know before, a little earlier, a couple questions ago, I asked you something, and you said we moved to South Carolina. So do you have any like siblings or anything?
Yeah, I actually got like six brothers, I got six brothers. It's four by my mother and my father. And then I got two stepbrothers.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But my older brothers, they was like, they got put in the system. You know what I mean? So my grandmother, she didn't want us to get put in the system, so she adopted us and took us down to South Carolina, where she's originally from, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Were you able to, like, connect with them at all, though?
It was hard. It was hard growing up, you know what I mean? Like, not seeing them, being connected with them, because, like I said, they were in and out of the system.
Right, it's hard to keep track.
Like, their life, it's hard to keep track. I really met my brothers when I got older, like right before I went into jail, a couple years before I went in.
Okay. All right. So, so it was just you and your younger or older brother, two you guys went down to South Carolina?
Yeah, it was me and my, Dillon, South Carolina. Shout out to Dillon, South Carolina.
Okay.
It was me and my younger brother. We 11 months apart, so...
Oh, that's like, close.
You know, we two peas in a pot, man. Like, you know, I could wear his shoes, he could wear my shoes.
Does he ask?
Pants, he could wear my pants, you know? Nah, man. Yeah, hell on that, man. Nah, man.
He said, nah, man.
My brothers, they're a different story, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm trying to do what I'm doing.
Right.
Try to get us about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I figure, man. Is there a role that you wanted to play that you haven't been able to play yet?
Many of them. It's probably hundreds of them. You know what I mean? Like, But I mean, I want to play a doctor. I want to play a lawyer, and I ain't just talking about background. I want to be a lead with these characters. You know what I mean? And I want to play a lot of things, but I want to break out of that playing the gangster and the thug. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you notice, like a lot of black actors coming in the game, that's what they play.
Yeah, you get put in that box.
Thugs. Yeah, you get put in that box. And I actually got two films. Well, I got one movie. It's one movie and it's one series that I'm gonna be starring in, and it's gonna show my versatility.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And in the film industry.
Okay. So got that down. Is there anything that you wouldn't want to play? Is there any roles that you like, you know what, I don't think I need this. I don't need these.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to I'm not homophobic or anything, so shout out to them. I know I got a lot of them. They my fans. You know, they watch my interviews. They support me, so shout out to y'all. But I don't think that I would play.
Right.
Let me be more specific. I think I would play that role, but I wouldn't get into the sexual part of it. You know what I mean? I would play that role because, again, I'm trying to be the greatest. Or one of the greatest. And if I want to be one of the greatest or the greatest, I can't limit myself. Now, as far as the sexual part, I can limit myself because that ain't what I do. You know what I mean? But I signed up to be an actor. I signed up to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I know that's always a hard one for a lot of people. They you know, they're usually on the fence with it. And I've seen people from, you know, considered smaller scale to larger scale struggle with that one. The question, that's a hard one, and you ain't dodging. I can respect that.
right. Yeah,
that definitely was hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, now we can get into basically. I see you very proud. SAG-AFTRA, right?
Yes.
For the people. You know, I kind of know what that's about and everything, getting your vouchers and the speaking roles and how that go. But there's a lot of people who have no idea what this world is about. And they might see that and be like, why is he so happy to be part of this union? So, go ahead. You can now go into, like, how you got some of your vouchers and how that goes and why that's important, very important to become, you know, an actor.
Okay. So, like I told you guys, I actually got four vouchers from the Wolf of Wall Street when you only needed three.
Mm-hmm.
And and these was back-to-back vouchers. I didn't know what a Tap Hartley was or a voucher was at the time. I was so naive to the business part of the film industry.
At this time, because I know that at the time they were two separate things. They were apart. Is this after the merger? I'm not sure.
No, this is before the merger.
Okay.
It was just
okay.
SAG.
Yeah. Right. It was that's what I remember. So
they were talking about the merger. They had already had the signs up and everything, but it wasn't official.
Right, okay.
At the time. So I got those vouchers from the Wolf of Wall Street. And it took me a while to actually join the union because I had a plan. Now, my plan was, I knew I was inexperienced. I knew that I wanted to get a certain type of body of work before I joined the union because I knew this is a different field.
Right.
When you get in the guild, you talk about you in the guild with Denzel Washington's, you in the guild with Leonardo DiCaprio's and stuff like that. So I knew. Before I got in the guild, I had to really hone my craft. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had to really, like, just come with something, bring something to the table. Yeah. And I recently just joined last year. I recently just joined because I just felt like it was time because I wasn't really... I just felt like I was done with the non-union. And then, like, life catch up with you and you say, and age, and then you say, you know what? What you doing? What you gonna wait your whole life to join? Like, you ain't gonna give yourself an opportunity?
Right, because there's a lot of opportunity in that. A lot.
Right. So you know, I mean, that's what it was with me. And that's why I joined. And yeah, I am happy. I am happy that I joined. And it makes me proud. I keep my sad cards with me mm-hmm. all the time because it reminds me of those days when I ain't have no food to eat. And my mom's, she ain't had no food to eat. And we staying together in the 90s in Brooklyn. And she would go to the store and steal meat for us to eat. You mm-hmm. feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And I would have to hop train stars just to get the auditions. Sometimes I'd be so happy. I ain't saying like I was starving. I was old starving and down here. But sometimes
yeah,
it was rougher than others, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I used to be happy to get cast and go on set. And I was just a background. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Doing background because I knew, shit, they got to feed us. And they might give us like $10, $20. You feel right. what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So at that time, that's what I was working for. I was just working for like a real, couple of dollars, some food. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I ain't have no responsibilities at the time either. So,
yeah, you know? Gotta get in. Speaking of that, yeah. Man, I know some of those sets, I can imagine what Wolf of Wall Street with the spread was like, because I seen some of those, the food, the spreads during some of these sets would be insane, crazy. Bro, they look, eat good, man.
Let me tell you something. I was just telling the last person I did the interview with just a while ago, on a Wolf of Wall Street, it was the best set I ever been on. Yo, we was eating Big Boy salmons. Like, it was, oh my good, macaroni and cheese. Yo, I was happy to go to set every day. You know what I mean? Like, it was, man, Wolf of Wall Street was so dope, man. I'm talking about, and it was just so live. You know what I mean? Like I told you, like, I was the first black actor to be casted on the Wolf of Wall Street in the office scenes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you guys seen it yet, but after when Leo got on,
right. yeah,
and the office got a little bigger, that's the scene that I starred in. And man, it was strippers on there. These guys, they was doing cocaine for real, like for real. You know what I mean? Like, it's just serious.
That's crazy.
Cause you gotta get in that mentality,
right?
You
right.
know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's what they do on the real Wall Street. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, listen, they had live animals on there, man. They had
That was a real production.
I'm not saying like the leads was on doing like cocaine and weed. I'm not saying that.
It just right. what I'm saying is it was just
they created the real atmosphere.
It was present.
The atmosphere was for real.
Right. The atmosphere was too real. But
you just made me think of that because Wolf of Wall Street, I can't recall off the top of my head what year it supposedly took place, but you also did the 79,
that movie. Yeah, 79 parts starting
Yeah, sorry, guys. You guys, shout it out. 79 parts. I just checked it out on Amazon. I just watched it. They got the extended and the regular. Just watch the extended. I ain't seen the regular. I watched the extended.
Okay.
But right, yeah,
79 parts, starring Eric Roberts. Yeah, I did that film. But that's the film that they cut a lot of my scenes out.
Right. Okay.
I was never really supposed to be in that film. The director Ari Tab, somebody turned me on to the director Ari Tab. Ari Tab reached out to me, and this was right after I finished filming The Wolf of Wall Street, like 2 weeks. And okay. I finished filming the Wolf
so they
of
didn't
Wall
see
Street,
you. Man. They so didn't was, see you in Wolf of Wall Street yet. Because nah, I was going to ask because they both have that period piece feel. Like, you know, they both set yes. in a time that's not right, right now. So I right, thought maybe yeah. they seen you and was like, oh, yeah, he could do this. But it's just a coincidence that you just so happen to be in two yeah. projects that are set like period pieces. That's
right.
Dope.
Right. And it really was by word of mouth because, mind you, I was super duper hungry. You know what I mean? To learn, because I ain't know nothing. I didn't know about this industry. So this guy, he just hit me up because he seen my hunger. He seen me on Facebook. Like, he like, yo, this dude hungry, man. And he just like turned me on to it. And then Ori, the director, Ori Tab, he liked what he saw, the headshot. And he was like, I want you on my set. And I didn't have no lines. All I was doing was chasing this white boy with a knife.
Yeah.
And so he was like, man, I gotta use you. I need to use you. So mind you, it's a major if I'm not mistaken, I think Paramount was sponsoring that movie. I think so. Mm-hmm. But and it's major companies, you know what I mean, sponsoring this movie. So here go Ari, though. He believed in me so much. He like, I'm going to write you in. He called me on a Saturday. I'll never forget it. He said, I want to write you in my movie, Darren. He said, this is going to be big. Like, I want to write you in my movie. And you know what I mean? I want you to. We was just talking about things. And I was so amped. So I was up next 3 weeks. We on set. You know, I did my thing. This and the third. About a year later, because it took 7 to 8 years for that movie to be released.
Yeah.
It, way before I even got on set. You know what I mean? Like, that's
the
politics of the industry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did my voiceovers and everything. And one day he called me, man. He said, Darryl, you know, I got some news to tell. That's bad news to tell you. Hollywood, they felt like your scenes were being racist, and they didn't want the backlash of the black community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Saying like, okay, why you always gotta have the black man chasing the white man, this and third. But this is what was really happening in the 70s.
Right.
And around his way. This is what he really went through.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, so he's just trying to like imitate what he went through. But politics.
And especially if you was there, you was on set, y'all were cool, you didn't feel a way about it. But like you said, politics, man, and how everybody else viewed things.
Right. Yeah. Right. Politics, man. And politics is deep in this industry, man.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very deep, man.
Yeah, that's
well,
that's
it still wild, made man. It out. You still out there.
Right. Definitely. So you guys want me to keep going on, or y'all got a question?
Yeah, I got a question. So I see on your IG you got a bunch of skits you be doing and stuff like that. Like, how does that help you get certain roles and things like that? Like, how effective is that?
Well, my skits, man. It hasn't helped me get any movie or TV roles as of yet, but it did get the attention of this celebrity comedian named Damn Homie from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually doing a skit with Damn Homie this Saturday. I don't know if y'all know who that is. Damn Homie from Brooklyn.
I'm gonna check him out.
It's a female.
Oh, it's a female.
Yeah, she's Russian. Yeah, she's funny as hell, man.
I gotta check her out.
Yeah,
her name's Damn Homie. I think it's Damn Homie 11. On Instagram.
Okay.
But so she let me join her live like a week ago or something like that. And then I was telling her, listen, like, you know, I want to do some work with you, Sam Third. I do my skits, Sam Third. She actually checked my skits out and DM'd me like 5 minutes later. She was like, hell yeah. She was like, you got a lot of potential. I want to work with you. So I'm like, say no more. Like, let's do it. She was like, next week is good. It's a fact. So.
Yeah, I like how you work, man. I like how you work. You on it. Some people be like, yo, I got you 2-3 weeks, and then they never get back to you. You on it right away. All right, cool. You know what I mean? So I definitely respect that, man, for real.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I definitely checked out some of your skits, man. First pulled it out, I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, you know what? Let me go through and pick it up. I started to get it. I'm not gonna lie. At first, I'm like, "What is going on? Nut. What is happening right now?"
Yeah.
But then I found myself laughing out loud. I'm like, "This shit is funny."
Yeah.
Yo, my man, yo, my man. Yo, what's your name?
My name is, they call me such and such.
Yo, where you going?
Yeah, I going down there to see Nelson. Yeah, you know he ain't down there nothing but drinking and thinking. Talking about last night, talking about he ain't going back to jail. And if he go back to jail, it got to be over his dead body.
Yo, Nelson gonna fuck you up, man.
Nelson a goddamn fool.
Yeah,
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Right,
no doubt.
Yeah, man, that's a fact. That's what's up, though. So, do you do any like writing and stuff? As far as like, usually actors, some of them got something in their back pocket. Like, if I ever get to do my movie, like, you got something, you do some writing.
Yeah, I think that's every actor's thing. You know, I mean, they always got something in their back pocket that they want to tell the world, you know? So, And I got something in my back pocket, my front pockets that I want to tell the world about my mom's. You know what I mean? I'm writing a little short about my mother.
Okay.
And I want to write a feature film about my life from being young to even going through the prison system to coming out. And, you know what I mean, just going through the ups and downs of having a dream and having the odds against you and just making it through those odds, you know what I mean?
Right. So, yeah, since you mentioned that, and you went into the system at one point, you came out, and then you was on it. Obviously, you're doing your thing. It's just like in today's world, there's so many people who go through things, and it to them, it's the biggest thing ever. And it crushes them, and they feel like they can't bounce back. What do you say to those people who just feel like something happens and they can't bounce back? Because you're living proof that you can really bounce back from almost anything.
Shit, you just got to keep going. You know what I mean? You got to find something that's gonna light something in you, in your life. Like we adults. We grown. I'm pretty sure we all had that went through some type of life experience that we don't want to go through again.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And I got a couple of them, you know what I mean? And I just don't want to go through a lot of shit that I went through. And then I got kids now too. So I'm looking generational wealth. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to have them set. Yeah. I'm doing what I love. Like, I'm living my dream. I don't need all that money. You feel what I'm saying? I'm living my dream because I know sometimes it might have to start with me. You feel what I'm saying? Doing sacrificing and all that. So, you know what I mean? Like that's where I get my fire from, man. And I always try to like a different type of fire in me, you know? Listen, my life ain't perfect and I done been in dark places at times. You know what I mean? I don't want to quit this shit. I quit this shit. You know? But some way it always find me. It always find me. And this time I said, you know what? I ain't gonna let nobody bullshit me no more. And I ain't gonna let nobody take away this fire no more because this God is heaven sent. And I gotta let the world know. And I gotta give the world my talents, man. Cause I feel like the world,
for sure.
The world, I feel like the world needs to see me.
For sure.
You know?
Yo, respect, word. Respect.
So you know, to everybody out there who feel like your life over because you've been in prison or whatever, like find that fire, dig in your crate. Digging your crate and light something up in your ass, man, and get up and get it because it's yours. Like Nas said, get up and get it because the world yours. You just got to get up and get it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's all it is right there. Well said, well said.
He did that.
Well said. So, all right, we'll go over to something a little lighter. Just going on with this is just like a general state of the industry question. All this COVID stuff going on, movie theaters has been in the dumps because of, you know, can't have gatherings. Stuff been releasing, not releasing, pushback, video on demand. Like, how do you feel about the whole situation, COVID situation, when it pertains to, like, movies and stuff right now? Do you feel like it it put a lot of things, it's hard right now, it's scrappy, you know, you're digging for stuff, or do you feel like it just changed and now it's just going a different direction for now?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it changed and it's going in a different direction. And how I look at it, I feel like it's going to go in a positive direction for like people like me, like brothers like me that's up and coming. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because with this whole COVID thing, it took like a lot of people had to take a step back, you know. Yeah. And I just feel like it's gonna free up a lot of work for mm-hmm. us, like up and coming, you know. And it's been hard, like people haven't been working because of the COVID. Hollywood been shut down. They just opened it back up like maybe a month ago. Mm-hmm. So it's so much work out there. You got to understand, like, we've been locked down for months. Mm-hmm. Can you just imagine the creative content that has been created? Can you imagine how much work is out there? I'm telling you, like, that's why I said this, it's going to be a beautiful thing. If we can get past this COVID thing and just get it under control, it's going to be a beautiful thing, man. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I just wanted to hear your perspective. I see it from the viewer standpoint, and I'm like, man, this movie got pushed, Fast and Furious, all these major movies. I'm like, man, these major movies are getting pushed. Imagine what's happening with everything else. But then I see a lot of people now video on demand getting their stuff pushed out. Smaller projects making it out. I'm watching making more and more smaller projects now because I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I can't go to the movies and watch this blockbuster. But, you know, Amazon, Netflix just released 5 of these lower grade projects where they got some real talent in here, some stories.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man, there's some talented people out there. So, I definitely wanted to hear your perspective on it because for me, I love it. I'm a big fan of cinema, TV shows, movies. You know, I'm into it, story. I'm into every part of it. So I'm really enjoying it right now, even though can't go to the movies and catch the big one.
I know, man. Yeah, because, you know, we've been watching reruns for months and months and months.
For months.
That's brother.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they just...
Can't wait.
I just did like a little something on Power. Nothing big. You know what I mean? But they was telling me you know, it's 2 more weeks in production for Power. And then, and then they was just renewed another season. Right. So, you know what I mean? So that's big. Like, and I look at things like that, like, that's opportunity. Because now, y'all got to understand is that I'm doing all of this with no agent. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, too.
Yeah, all of this with no agent. And today, I'm like, I mean, I've been wanting an agent, but like I said, I had a plan for this. I had to have the right body of work. You feel what I'm saying? Like, so now I feel like I got the right body of work.
Your portfolio building up. It's looking good.
It's building up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now I'm reaching out to agencies and everything and they like, yeah, we definitely look for new talent. And I'm reaching out to big agencies, you know what I mean? Like, so you know, not excluding the smaller ones because I'm gonna reach out to them too. But I'm just trying to put together nice packages where I could send these people and let them see, man, like okay, here, new face. Because I could do 100 movies, 9 union, and they won't know who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know?
With that being said, like, do you have any other projects that you got coming out soon?
Yeah, I got a series I'm starring in by Ty Lucky Johnson. It's called Love and War. And then they got the movie coming out called Apple. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm doing the long order thing for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But after that, it's just like, you know, okay, what's next? You know what I mean? Just trying to like figure out what's next, you know. But casting has been reaching out to me a lot. They've been reaching out to me a lot. And I've been doing these podcasts, which is helpful, and it's helping me, you know.
I see you grinding on the circuit, man. I see you grinding on the circuit, man.
Right, I got you. hey, when Pops hit me up, I was like, yo, I got to, no question. Like, ain't no, yeah, ain't no second question. I got that. I got you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, yeah, man. I guess we're coming down towards the end. We like to do a little bit of fun stuff, but let's just get like, what's a good on set memory that you got? Let's get some good. I know you got something back there. You like that was good.
On set memory. Shit, there's so many of them, man. Well, I'll go to the Wolf of Wall Street because the Wolf of Wall Street is my biggest film to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My best on-set memory with the Wolf of Wall Street was just with all the strippers on set and the live band and just a lot of animals and just it was the energy was so positive and so good, you know what I mean? And people were getting along and, you know, just, you know, trying to help people out. So I say the Wolf of Wall Street and I say, like, you know, those scenes right there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did you ever get to hang out with any of the actors, any of the other main actors?
Nah, I hung out with one of them in between takes. JB, I think his name was. Named JB.
Okay.
The one that had the glasses on. He was one of the principals. Okay. He wore the glasses all the time.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
He actually gave me some advice because I was like, how did you get where you at now? He was like, I just kept working. You know, I didn't take no for an answer, you know, and I still remember that, you know. I didn't take no for an answer and I just kept working, you know. And I said, all right. You know, I just try to take little bits and pieces of advice, you know what I mean, that's given to me, man, you know, on set for my life.
I got another question, man. With that being said, what advice would you give to, you know, a young actor coming up?
Be respectful in the industry. Try not to burn no bridges because this industry is very small, but it's so big.
Right.
And word of mouth is crazy in this industry because Once one or two people here, he ain't gonna show up on time, or he's not, you know, suitable for this, and that spreads, mm-hmm. you know, and sooner or later you're gonna have a red flag by your name.
Yep.
You're gonna wonder why, oh man, why I ain't getting no work? Ain't nobody calling me. It's 7:30, and that's why. So try not to burn your bridges and just become a sponge. Try to soak up everything that you can. I don't care if you see them pushing the camera to the next scene. You know what I mean? Like, try to soak up, try to ask yourself, okay, how they pushing that camera? What they pushing it on? You know what I'm saying? That's how you got to be. You want to know everything about what's going on set, because when your time come and you that lead, it ain't no, you can't play dumb.
Yeah. Right.
You can't play dumb. You got to know what's up.
Yep. Yeah, man. That's how it is. Okay. All right. So this is the part here where we do little rapid fire questions. We just ask you some questions. Hey, it's no right or wrong answers. It's just all about you and things that you like and not don't like or whatever it may be. So you want me to start off, Lee?
Yeah. Go ahead. Start it off.
All right. So what's your go-to meal? What's your favorite food or your favorite meal, either or? Like, if you had soup, to pick one.
Soup, noodles. Oh, I said noodles, super noodles. Noodles, that's crazy. Noodles, a can of Jack Mac, some corn, some jail shit. Basically.
Okay. A hookup. Keeping it basic, all right.
Yeah.
All right, what's your favorite city?
I couldn't hear you.
Favorite city.
Oh, of course. New York, Brooklyn, baby.
What's one of your favorite movies? Just one of your favorites.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
I mean, is that because you was there, or is it because you really like the movie?
Somewhat.
It was the whole experience.
Somewhat. But I'm gonna tell you. Let me reiterate on it. You guys ever seen this movie called Straight Outta Brooklyn?
Nah.
Oh man, you guys should take this in your notes and watch Straight Outta Brooklyn.
Straight
it's
Outta
a Spike
Brooklyn,
Lee man. Joint. It's a Spike Lee joint, and it's about this alcoholic. It's about this family that grew up in Red Hook, and the dad alcoholic, and he beating up on his wife because he can't overcome pop. You feel what I'm saying? And he want better for his daughter and his son. It's deep, but that of all time, and it was an independent film, but it's a classic. You guys need to check that out. Straight Out of Brooklyn.
Okay. I got it on my list. Yeah. I don't know how I missed it. Yeah.
Straight 91.
All right. 91. I got that.
I'm going to throw out one more. Favorite musician right now?
The Baby.
Baby. Okay. I like
The Baby and Lil Baby. I'm sorry.
I'm not big on Lil Baby, but Da Baby, I'm really big on Da Baby. I'm just getting into Lil Baby. They've been trying to get me. I'm just getting in. All right. What else we got, Lee? You got any more? You want to give them more?
Nah, I don't got any more right now. Nah.
All right, we got one more. I got one more. What type of footwear are you into? What type of stuff you like to wear on your feet? What's fresh for you?
Shit, I'm simple, man. I grab some Air Force Ones, some Tims, you know. Simple. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I got. I ain't got nothing else right
I'm
now.
Yeah, I'm good, man. All right, so, yeah, like I said, once again, appreciate you. Shout out your IG, Facebook, whatever you need to shout out. Give it here now. Let the people know where they can find you and what to do when they find you.
No doubt, man. You can find me on Instagram at Daryl_Jermaine. That's Daryl_Jermaine, Jermaine. On Facebook, Daryl Jermaine. And I think on Twitter, it's The Real Daryl J. So, and I appreciate y'all having me on the show, man. For real, man. This has been a breath of fresh air, man. For real. I love y'all energy.
We definitely appreciate you too, man. Thank you for showing up and you know what I mean, communication and being able to, do it so quickly. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Like,
no doubt, man.
That means a lot. we're gonna chop it up again. You know what I mean?
We're gonna let you come back to the world.
Yeah, we're gonna let you go out and smash some more of these TV screens and movie screens, and then we're gonna get you back and talk about how that happened.
Yes, sir. So we got each other contacts and everything, so we definitely gonna keep in touch.
Shout out to B, man, for hooking us up, man.
For real.
Yo, so shout out to him for that. Thanks for the plug, man. We got to shout you out.
That's a good brother, man. I know we about to get off because I got to go, man. I got to give me a haircut real quick. But I met Barry on a concept joint we was doing a couple of years back called Undercover. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's where I met him. Good brother, man.
Right.
Real good brother, you know? Yeah.
Right.
So I had to jump on this show.
All right, man. It's been the Wrong Agenda Podcast. Just Dale, Oleek, Daryl Jermaine came through. Bless us with a dope interview. Make sure y'all check us out.
The merch, toppriorityclothing.com.
Get y'all merch, you know what I mean? YouTube, subscribe, like, share. And we appreciate y'all. Thank you. Even with your focus, they put a 10 pack on the hole. Yeah. But I just took a 8 out of Wells. Heard it blocks in the plate through the mill. Quarterback making plays in the field. Got my weight up on niggas, I'm breaking the scale. I put that pen in for real. Came from the mud in their hand. Brought to you by Valiant World Media Group.